Y'all ain't ready for this. Do y'all know what time it is? Do y'all know what anniversary it is? It's the 1 year anniversary of, drum roll, please. Now, ladies, do it with me now. It's the 1 year anniversary of...
Is correct. It is the 1 year anniversary of the Air Raid Podcast. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is episode 52, if you're keeping count.
Woo!
Which I am.
Because you're ugly and retarded.
1 year anniversary of this little show. We have had quite the year, everyone. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
I'm so not a raper.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Once every week, coming to you from Dining Room Studios, high atop the Greenwood neighborhood here in beautiful Seattle, Washington. And we have got a great show for you today. Oh, man. And I couldn't have asked for a better guest today, or guests, plural, because there's a few of them. Couldn't have asked for a better guest. Guests.
No,
celebrating our 1 year anniversary, we have got Black Whales. The band Black Whales is coming on the show. They've got a new album that's coming out on June 28th. That you guys can go collect at your local music stores or download on iTunes. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to meeting these guys. They kind of come from, like, Seattle band, like, I don't know. What do you call it? Band...
I don't know anything.
Rock royalty, man. Yeah, that's it. Pseudo-rock royalty, indie rock royalty. Here from the great Pacific Northwest. Let's see, in a bunch of bands. The drummer, Dave, is in another band called Broken Bells, which you may have heard of, with James Mercer and Danger Mouse. And also, I guess he kind of tours with Modest Mouse. It's like the drum tech for Modest Mouse or something like that. Anyway, we're going to have these guys on here in a little bit. But I've got a couple things I want to talk about before they come on. As all of you know, maybe some of you, the new listeners, may not know, but I have a brand new baby daughter. She's about a month old now. Can you believe that? About a month old. Almost. Getting there. We're getting to the month old point. But she's a great, great, beautiful little girl. Couldn't be more happy being a father, being a brand new father. But one thing is really bugging me. I mean, people are sending us so much stuff. I mean, we're getting stuff. We're getting gifts and presents from people we don't even know. Like, we're getting things from Mairead's mother's van pool. Her van pool. People in her van that takes her to work are sending us things. We've never met these people. I don't understand it. I don't understand the need to send us things for the baby and stuff like that. Especially what we've been getting most is quilts. What is the fascination with quilts? Why are people making somebody that they've never met before a quilt? I think that they're just trying to piss me off. There's a finite amount of space in my home here in Greenwood, and seemingly an infinite amount of quilt makers out there. And, you know, I'm not a quilt person. I'm more of a modern taste kind of guy, a little bit on the contemporary side. So when I get something that has, like, you know, dated floral patterns all over it, I'm not really gonna want to use that because it's just not in my taste. And, you know, let me, you know, sidebar really quick. It takes a lot of skill to make this kind of stuff. And it takes a lot of time as well, right? And people have, you know, put their heart and soul into making something for my daughter, which, you know, does not go unappreciated. That's really cool. But however, I don't want your quilt. I don't want your quilt. You know, unless it has, I don't know, like it's a hand stitched, you know, Rolling Stones cover art, you know, something like that. I mean, that would be rad. That'd be something I'd want my daughter to be wrapped up in, you know, and keep for a long time. But you know, these floral patterns and these weird diamond shapes and things like that, you know, it's not my bag. It's not my bag. It's not Mairead's bag either. And, there's just so much stuff. Well, you might be saying to yourself, Aaron, why don't you just get a storage unit, to keep all this stuff in? But see, I've been living my life. This is what I've been doing. I have been, you know, my whole life avoiding getting a storage unit. That is one of my lifetime goals. I do not want to end up with so much stuff that I need to pay a place, an extra place to keep my shit. You know? I mean, hopefully someday I'll have a bigger garage. I can keep some stuff there that we want to hold on to, family heirlooms, whatnot, band stuff, guitars, amplifiers, whatever. But that's the kind of stuff that I want to have, you know, for my kids down the line. Not a bunch of quilts that are going to fill up with moths. I mean, you know, am I crazy? Are any of you listening to this? Are you guys quilt people? Do you make quilts or anything like that? Or do you send baby presents to somebody that you've never even met before? Send me your emails, Aaron@air-raid.net, and maybe we'll read those on the air in episode 53. Episode 52. Can you believe it? This is our anniversary, our 1 year anniversary, of doing this show. And it's been a phenomenal time. I've got to meet a lot of cool people, and I've got to talk to a lot of you, through emailing and Facebook and stuff like that. And you know what? Sometimes I can sound like kind of an ass on the microphone. I get worked up sometimes. I get angry about quilts. But, you know, really, I got to extend my thanks to you, the listener, whoever's listening to this right now, for hanging in there and listening to the show. Some of you may have been around when we first started the show, and it was pretty rough, man. Pretty rough. We didn't really know what we were doing. We didn't have a solid, solid kind of format for the show. It was kind of here. It was very wishy-washy. We still had great guests and great conversation. It was just, you know, I wasn't used to it. Now, after a whole year, I kind of got it down, I think. Now, you know what? I don't have it down. This show probably still sucks. I don't even know why you're listening to it. You know, but you're good people. You're good people. Thank you for hanging in there with me and stuff. And we're going to keep on trying to bring you good content and bring you guests and music that you haven't heard of before and interesting stories. So we've got a lot of things in the works here at Dining Room Studios. And you can, of course, you know, one of the most exciting things that's happened this year is the Noise Beam Network, man. Through the good people at Fisher Broadcasting or Fisher Communications, whatever they're called. You know, they have just been awesome and working so hard at getting this thing kind of, you know, up and running and things like that. We're actually having our Noise Beam launch party, which is kind of this VIP party for the hosts and the people behind the scenes to get together and meet each other and do that whole thing. And we're working on a new sponsor for the show. The good people at Fisher are working on some sponsors for all of the shows. Planned Brotherhood, my personal favorite, that I listen to every week. Stack of Dimes, Grapes of Rad, The Sibling Rivalry, and Unload with Madge and Dave. I mean, all great, great shows, all local to the Seattle area, but man, we're talking about all sorts of stuff. So if you don't live in the Seattle area, you know, don't feel bad. We've got stuff for you too, man. And we've got some great music coming up with the Black Whales. I'm so excited for these guys to get here. I had a little, some of you may have friended me on Facebook, and you may have saw recently that I had a little run-in with the popo, the police, here in Seattle. I was out with Sean DeTore of TBTL and the Mixtape the other night, and, you know, we were out at the bar, and, you know, I was figuring it was just going to last a couple hours, and then I was going to come home and you know, be with my daughter and my wife. But a couple hours turned into about probably around 6 or 7 hours. We stayed at the bar until just about around closing time down at the Yenoir, which is this little dirty karaoke bar here in Seattle in the North End. But great place, man. Good people, awesome karaoke. It gets rocking in there, and it's becoming more and more popular as well. Probably because, you know, so many people are mentioning it on their podcasts. Yeah, so we go to the Yenoir, we're drinking, we're tipping back a few, and Sean goes, hey, you know what? Let's go ice blocking. Yeah, great idea, great idea. I was totally in. I was like, yes. And if you don't know what ice blocking is, my wife had to explain this to me the other day because Sean had invited me over on a warm summer day to go ice blocking at Gasworks Park here in Seattle. And it's you just ride big blocks of ice down a hill, down like a grassy hill. And it sounded like so much fun at 2 o'clock in the morning. So anyway, we go to Sean's house. We pick up these two big ice blocks, some plastic bags, and three beers. Three normal size cans of beer, right? What is a normal size? 12 fluid ounces, right? 12 ounces of, you know, cans. So they're not big, giant cans. I wish they would have been. But so we get to, we go down to Gasworks Park, which is quite a ways from where we were. And we come up the hill, and I mean, on top of this hill in Gasworks Park, you have an amazing view of the city. And at night, it's just gorgeous because, you know, all the buildings are lit up, and you can see the Space Needle and the moon up there and stuff. And by this time, it's probably around like 2:30 in the morning, but there's a big group of teenagers up on the top of the hill, and they are smoking drugs. They were smoking dope. And so, you know, I was a little bit, I don't know how Sean felt, but I was a little excited because I got to show off my ice blocking skills. This is how I get when I get a little bit saucy, you know, in the head, and I get kind of show-offy. So we run up this hill, and we get these ice blocks out and stuff, and these kids are all, like, looking at us, right? And they're smoking their dope. And passing it around and stuff. And they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, we're ice blocking. We're ice blocking, man. We're going to slide down this hill on big blocks of ice. You know, thinking that I'm just the shit. You know, which is totally, it couldn't be further from the truth, right? Especially when I've been drinking. But so we start riding these blocks of ice. I can't get the thing down. Sean starts going at it, man. He's doing really well. I don't know if he had ever done it before. I can't remember. I think he told me. But so these kids are passing this pipe around. The pipe ends up in my hands. And I just kind of passed it back, you know, and I'm like, and I see these three silhouettes in the distance, right? And so I'm egging these kids on. I'm like, hey, get on this ice block. Get down there, you know, take a toke and get on the ice block, you know, trying to be the cool older guy. That's you know, hanging out with the teenagers on the hill. And so these silhouettes start getting closer, and so I start showing off a little bit more. I'm about ready to slide down the hill, and I look over, and I finally, the silhouettes kind of come into focus, and they are Seattle police officers. And I'm like, oh, shit. This isn't going to be good. So they turn on their flashlights, One kid is still holding this. He just got done like telling the story of how he got this glass pipe, right? How it was so special to him. And he's, I think this is what like the police were waiting for too, which is probably something that I'd do also, just to be a dick. But they waited around until this kid got done telling the story about how this glass pipe was so important to him. And they turn on their flashlights and they make everybody sit down. And me and Sean are just looking at each other like, oh, crap. You know, what now? We're going to get in trouble for ice blocking. This is terrible. And so the cops are sitting there. They're talking to us. We hand over our IDs. You know, we've got three beers in a bag. One of the cops says, you know, providing liquor to a minor is a felony. And we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. These are for us. We just showed up. We don't know these kids. We showed up. And I was doing the talking at this point, so I probably sounded really tossed. And, you know, but I can hold my own. But so the cop is like, ice blocking, huh? Yeah, and I was like, yeah, we just showed up to ride some ice. And I realize as I'm saying this how ridiculous it sounds, right? We just showed up, and we were going to ride some ice down the hill. And so he kind of stops talking to us. And one of the cops is like, has his flashlight straight in the face of the kid with the pipe in his hand. He's like, what should we do? He says, what should we do with little Smokey over here? And at that point, I just started laughing because I thought that was hilarious. And Sean's looking at me like, oh, crap, man. And he was kind of smirking as well. And he turns around to the cop and he's like, hey, look, you know, we're in our 30s. Can we just go? And the cop kind of looks down at us. And gives us our IDs back. And he's like, hold on just a second. And so once again, you know, some time goes by. And the kids are trying to say, hey, I just got here too. I've only been here for about 10 minutes. And the cops were like, we've been standing down there at the base of the hill for, you know, a good 20 minutes watching you guys. And I'm like, oh, my God. So they probably heard me being show-offy and telling the kids to take another toke off their weed pipe. So I was just like, oh, crap. What's going to happen? Sean goes again. He says, look, man, we're in our 30s. You know, we just showed up here. The cop stops him mid-sentence and goes, how much have you guys had to drink? Sean goes, maybe a couple. And I go, like one. Cop says, are you okay to drive? We say yes. He says, leave the ice. And so we left the ice. We picked up the garbage. He poured out two cans of beer. We had three with us. He poured out two and let us walk away with one can of beer. And then at that point, we went home. I think at one point I also, I got home at like 3 o'clock in the morning from there. And I don't remember this, but I accidentally called, well, it wasn't an accident. I called Nick Allers of the Planned Brotherhood podcast because Sean kind of lives kind of close to him and you know, wanted to see if he wanted to go ice blocking. He sent me a text message back the next day. He says, hope you had a good time. I was sleeping like a normal person. Indeed, sir. Indeed. Well, that was my weekend. I hope you guys had a good one. And thanks for listening to the first anniversary edition of the Air Raid Podcast, episode 52 with the Black Whales. They are going to be showing up here shortly. And man, I am super stoked to talk to these guys. And this is, let's see, they've got this new album coming out. It's called Shangri-La Indeed. And we're going to be featuring a couple songs, or three songs, from this new album that's coming out on June 28th. They're also playing a show coming up here in Seattle with friends of the show, Legendary Oaks, at the Tractor Tavern here pretty soon. And let me, you know what? This is the first time that I've kind of had my shit together on this show, and I've got it all pulled up. I've got it all pulled up. On the 2nd of July, July 2nd, they're having their record release show at the Tractor Tavern here in Seattle, Washington, in the Ballard neighborhood, with Legendary Oaks and Maldemur. Interesting. I've never heard of that band before, but they're probably super good if they're playing with the Black Whales and Legendary Oaks. So let's see. This song that we're going to go with for our first musical break is called Where I Come From. It's off of the second full-length album by Black Whales called Shangri-La. Indeed, you can find it in stores on June 28th. And we'll be right back with the Black Whales. See you in a moment. Welcome back to the Air Raid Podcast special first anniversary edition with Black Whales. They're here joining me now here in Dining Room Studios. How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Good. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming out. We talked a little bit back out on the back patio that, you know, I didn't really actually know too much about you guys. And so I was... you know, barrage of questions out back, and I finally realized that actually I do know quite a bit about you guys.
More than you thought.
So, yeah, this is going to work out perfectly, right?
I think yeah. So. It feels right.
What did you realize that you know?
Well, I was just going into, like, your whole background's like, oh, you were in Tourist, you were in Slender Means, you were, gotcha. You know, whatever.
Yeah. The great okay. Network.
I'm actually much smarter than I thought, which is perfect. Still wonder why I did so poorly in college. So we're minus two dudes today.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Ryan and Alan.
And let's do a little round robin here really quick, starting on the left.
I'm Alex. I sing, play guitar. Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking
all right,
for.
I do. I sing and play guitar. And
I'm Dave, and I play keyboards.
Very nice.
Davey and I play drums.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, welcome to Dining Room Studios.
Thanks.
High above all the prostitutes in my wonderful, beautiful neighborhood.
Yeah,
you can just look down on all of them walking across the street. So So you guys have been around for a little bit. I was totally mistaken. This is this album that's going to drop on June 28th, Shangri-La Indeed, is actually the first full-length album.
That's right.
Okay. Yep. And so you've had like a couple 7-inches, a couple EPs.
We started with one EP.
Origins, right?
And then followed that up. Well, we went in to make this record and kind of realized that we would like to have something to tide it over the waiting time. So we put out a 7-inch with a friend of ours, and that was called Rattle Your Bones. So those are the only releases we have so far.
Who is the 7-inch with?
It's a New Canada Records.
Out of Portland.
Oh, okay, okay. It wasn't like a split. It wasn't a split.
Oh, no. It was just a buddy of ours wanted to start a kind of a singles club, vinyl club thing. And so
cool.
We kind of teamed up with him, did the first one.
Right on. So let's kind of go back and talk about how this whole thing started a little bit. Because like we were saying when we came in, is that you guys are all kind of have been in bands in Seattle for a long time, you know, that have done well, in my mind anyway. And so how did you guys meet up and get this project started?
Well, I was playing in a band called Tall Birds, and Alex and Alan were playing in a band called Tourist, and we are sharing a practice space. And I think both those bands started to fizzle out around the same time. And
we
were having drinks one night, kind of talking about different musical ideas we wanted to try and things that we were influenced by that we were maybe not getting to explore in the bands we were in. And so we ended up getting together a few times and started playing some music and kind of came up with some cool, like, rough sketches of songs. And from there, I think we made some 4-track demos. And that was sort of the point where we kind of sealed the deal and was like, oh, we're all pretty happy with this. So let's keep going and let's give it a name. And
right.
I guess we're starting a band now.
Yeah, it was pretty much that. Exactly. It's like,
yeah, why not?
Yeah.
We want to keep the practice space.
Yep.
And it worked out. So when was that? Was that 2008? Something like that?
2007?
I think it was late 2007. That sounds pretty close.
Yeah. And so you guys did Origins close to that time, or was the 7-inch first?
We kind of went to do the first half of recording Origins. It was a two-part demo process that turned into an EP, but we did it pretty quickly. I remember we kind of jammed down some loose ideas, tightened them up. I'm not sure if we played a few shows before doing Origins.
Yeah.
And then we went into the studio with our friend Zach Ranig and did what was kind of a few glorified demo songs.
Okay.
And then went back in with him again later on to try and round it out a bit. And then with those two sessions, we jammed them together and made the EP out of that.
Okay.
So it was kind of glorified demos that turned into an EP.
Right. So they weren't like produced or anything like that, right? Did you have a producer working
with
you?
Yeah, it was like
a full
production. Like we rented studio time and our friend produced it. And then they were just too good to be demos, I guess. At that point, too much time was invested.
Right. Is that where that song Diamond Divide is on?
Yeah.
As well? Okay. And now is this kind of the, because you guys added a couple more people to the band.
Yeah.
Right, a little bit later. Dave, were you always a kind of like original? I'm doing air quotes right now. You can't see this at home, but
No, I'm a second time around guy.
Second.
Okay.
String,
okay.
You know. The B team.
Yeah.
and so when did you kind of come into the fold there?
I think it was like middle of September of last year. Slender Means was kind of fizzling out, and Davey texted me to play a show. So we just kind of practiced and for a few days, and I learned the songs, and it just kind of turned into a full time thing. Like the old keyboard player percussionist left, and so I kind of just filled in, and just kind of naturally kind of happened that way.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you guys have all known each other for a little while then.
Yeah.
Our old bands have like played together.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of a small community. Yeah.
Would you say you think it's small in Seattle, like the music community?
I think if you're kind of a working actively working musician, you know, you're bound to bump into like one person or two people from one band who have also turns out worked with your cousin or someone, you know, like
right,
some drummer.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that guy. You know, there's a lot of that, I think. Yeah. So maybe it isn't that small, but in the Seattle downtown community, I think it's a pretty close network.
Okay.
It's a tangled web.
It seems like there's like a serious lack of drummers out there too.
Hmm.
Do you find that? Like, are you getting calls all the time?
Do I find that?
Yeah.
I don't
know,
man. You drum a lot. I mean,
I think it's kind of true. Yeah. I think so.
I don't know that there's a lack of drummers.
There's a lot of drummers, but
you know. I think drummers can have a very, like, there's a very mixed personality that comes with it.
Right, right.
So it's like, yeah.
You're either in a jam band with like a 17 piece kit or you're in an indie rock band, right?
Something like that. I always feel like either the drummer is just a total pain in the ass or somewhere in the middle where it's like, oh yeah, this person, you can deal with them and they, like, they'll listen and they can play drums or.
Right, right.
How do you see yourself, Davey?
Can I have no idea.
How do you view yourself in this whole, in the grand scheme of things here?
Are you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe it's
that's like self-reflecting. That's too hard to do.
See, you should have taken me up on the beer offer.
Anyway. I'll tell you, man. I am
a wicked drummer.
I'm amazing when it comes to painting and drums, but you know it's.
Painting and drums.
I suck at life.
I don't know where that
is. I gotta go. Party's over.
You're like, we're gonna redo this podcast.
we can cut all this out, actually. No, but maybe it's like more because, you know, people don't get into the drums because parents are like, there's no way in fucking hell that I'm gonna listen to this kid pound on skins all day.
That makes sense.
You know, why not just give him an electric guitar and we can unplug it?
Acoustic guitar.
I started out playing drums. And
did you really?
My mom was like really cool about it.
Yeah.
Like I took over the whole living room and my neighbors like learned to just get used to it. And I stopped because I got really sick of transporting.
Right, right. Yeah, like, you always have way more equipment than
everybody
else,
by the time you get
there,
you're like, this sucks.
That is something I regret a lot lately. It's like, all right, and then there's something else, and then I got to grab this, and I got to grab that, and like, oh, some extra sticks, oh, a tambourine, oh, a little this and that, like, do this spare thing. And then these guys have, you know, a case and an amp.
Right,
or they could go with, like, out an amp, you know, like, oh, I'll just use something that's there.
We could take a cab to a show.
Like, well, I need my special pedal. The cymbal is just so dark and warm sounding.
So, yeah, I regret it a lot, actually.
Like a Professor Frink kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Basically, I regret playing the drums. But I know nothing else at this point, so.
Yeah, right. You're too far in, man. You can't. There's no turning back.
Drums are being homeless. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, yeah. So you started out playing the drums a little bit.
Yeah, though, that was years ago, but I had it in my mind that that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
I give Alex
credit
that he's quite the drummer, actually.
Really?
Unpracticed, though. Like,
yeah.
Nice and sloppy.
It's not like riding a bike for me, at least. It's like maybe with a, you know, a couple weeks of good practice, I can get it back maybe a little
bit. Yeah.
It's got like the lack of drumming skills, but good ideas.
So you're like Meg White.
Yeah.
Does she have good ideas? She does, like.
Pretty much, yeah. She has good ideas, but I'm pretty sure they're not hers.
Right.
Yeah, someone else.
On a side note, did you guys hear Jack White and his wife are getting a divorce?
Oh.
Back on the market.
Yeah. And they're actually throwing a party for their divorce.
Of course they are.
Yeah. They'll probably make a documentary about it, too.
I'm sure they will. You're referring to, what is it again?
The Great White Open or something?
It Might Get Loud?
It Might Get Loud, yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Wait, wasn't that Pixies? Oh no, that's Loud, Quiet Loud.
Yeah. It Might Get Loud's that one with
Jimmy Edge
Page.
And Jimmy
Page. Yeah.
Oh my god, did you guys see that?
Yeah,
I did. I just shook my head through most of it. Like,
no,
what?
Yeah.
Jimmy Page was cool to listen to. Actually, the Edge had some interesting stuff, even if you're not into the Edge.
Yeah, Jack White's kind of a douche, huh?
Well, he just comes across as like he has his own thing, and juxtaposed in a room with those other two guys.
Right,
kind of seems like, and why did they invite him? Like, these guys are like legendary status, and
one
kind
of kids
the
is
rogue.
Doing his own thing.
It seems like a generation thing, though, where you have like Jimmy Page,
totally.
His grandfather, and
I really like Jack. I really like all the stuff Jack White does, but he probably wouldn't be the most fun guy to, like, I don't know, split a cab with, or.
He's actually a really nice guy. With Cathars played with the White Stripes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, both of them really nice
That's his act.
So there you go.
Are they just – are they as pale as they look?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to them.
They were wearing bronzer that night. Yeah.
You never know.
One thing that bugged me about that movie was, like, the whole thing with Jack White when he was, like, he built that stupid little guitar out of a piece of wood. Yeah. Right, right. I was like, there's nothing special about that. Like, anybody could do that and play it with a beer bottle and make it sound exactly the same.
I think it's to show, like, how deeply rooted in music he is.
Right. Out on, like, some farm in a dilapidated, like, farmhouse and stuff. It's like, he doesn't live there.
And that little mini-me character.
No, yeah. And they keep cutting to those shots of him up in the attic alone. And exactly. It's like, that's not his house.
Mini-me character?
He has a little boy with him.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what?
He's a prop.
Yeah.
What the hell was that? That was like something totally straight out of a David Lynch movie or something.
Mm-hmm. I was like, is that like his son or something? No, it's like his mini Jack.
His protege.
Oh, man.
Yeah, protege.
His mini Jack.
He's like, much like everyone else in my life, you just sit there and I'll tell you what to do.
Well, those poor kids. Those poor kids.
Yeah.
Because I think him and his wife have like two kids together or something.
They have two kids, I think.
And, like, I saw a picture on the internet today before you guys got here. And, like, I mean, those kids must be translucent because the skin tone on Jack White and his, you know, now divorced wife, like, I mean, just so white. So white, like, bright. Bright shit. I don't know. So back to this drumming thing. Like, I want to.
I thought I was off the hook.
No, not at all. Not at all. Tell me if this is a good idea. Tell me if you think this will fly. Because it seems like when you have a female drummer, your band does really well. Most of the time.
The White Stripes and the Carpenters? Who else?
That's a good question. Maybe, okay.
Maybe those are I'm trying to think of like female.
They both do really well.
Hold on.
Luscious Jackson.
Sleater-Kinney. Luscious Jackson.
Yeah.
They had one good song.
Yeah.
And Quasi,
same
drummer. Because I think this is my plan. Here's my plan. Tell me if you think that there's any flaw with that. That we, you know, you just saw my little baby daughter.
Yeah,
we're gonna try to make her a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And because we don't want to work anymore. I just want to do this fake radio show, and then maybe we can you know cash that shit in.
Cash cow, yeah.
You better do it before she's 18 and figures it out.
I would push the doctor angle.
Doctor angle? Yeah. Yeah.
Something
or lawyer.
Something might
last. Yeah, lawyer, that'd be great.
Lawyer, surgeon, doctor.
Or if you had another daughter, you could have them be in a band together, like that band.
Smoosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do this whole smoosh angle.
Yep. Yeah. You're like, we only had this other one, so they got family band.
But I feel like the two cancel each other out. You can only have one.
Well, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to genetically engineer our next kid to be a boy, and then we can have boy-girl, brother-sister band, so that way it wouldn't totally be copying the smoosh thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be swimming in money like Scrooge McDuck, right? You guys think that'll work?
That's a great idea.
Okay, good,
Just go follow your gut.
Yeah, follow your dreams.
Go with what you know.
Yeah. Trust your instinct because it's usually right.
Yeah. Well, let's.
Talk to your wife about this plan.
We've discussed it a little bit. She thinks I'm half crazy.
And only half though. That's pretty good.
Only half. Yeah. So we're still, you know, we're still in the blue here. We're still in the green. Yeah. Whatever color.
You might need a bigger place with like an ample basement for genetic engineering, or you're gonna outsource it.
Well. I don't know. You guys got room in your practice space?
Kind of.
We got a little bit of room, actually, if you want to set up a lab.
A little booth.
Oh, yeah. I could do the lab work.
Yeah, does asbestos and pigeon shit interfere with anything?
Wait, where are you guys practicing? So, like a barn?
A secret location.
Undisclosed.
It's like a big.
So we have like this old building that we have a space in, and it's just... There was
and there's no roof?
There's lots of holes in the windows.
Oh, okay.
It's porous.
Convertible. Yeah. No, lots of pigeons
used to live
fly in and die.
Oh.
Like once they're in, there's no way we're getting them out.
Oh, man.
So just smell around and see where it landed.
Oh.
Like 3 months later.
That's terrible. Yeah. Do you ever like come into your practice space and there's like just shit all over your stuff?
It's happened, yeah.
Not on the gear.
Not really anymore. Well, Alan's pedal board got shit on once. he was real happy about that.
Since we've been there, been more present. It was kind of abandoned for a while. So
okay.
We took it over, and there's more like there's more people there now and less pigeons. The ratio switched.
But like the right temperature, the right day. I think I've walked into a room and it smells like urine or.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of that's kind of like that's kind of that's par for the course with most studio spaces here in Seattle. There's at least one homeless guy that's sleeping in one of the rooms or something.
For some reason, like the band rehearsal business is not something that can be like moderately acceptable. It's like it has to be a total shithole and
right.
Because for some reason, if you're in a band, you're a slob and you have no I know. No manners. No like.
It's
no
like go yeah. when you join a band, maybe in your teens, you're like, oh, I'm gonna be.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like.
You want to live that rock star life.
You just kind of acclimate to it.
Because like, if you're a rock star when you're at your house, you definitely like piss all over the seat and the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember trying to vomit on purpose, like
practicing,
just water at home. Like this is what they do.
Doing the milk challenge.
Yeah.
In 1 gallon in 1 hour.
There you go.
My mom's like, do your homework.
You'll never make it, kid.
This is homework.
Studying.
All right, guys. Well, let's go to our second musical break here. Which one would you guys like to go with?
Maybe a weirder one? There's a cool one on there. How about Elephant Number 2?
Elephant Number 2? Okay. Great.
Finally one I'm on.
Great. All right, this is Elephant Number 2 by Black Whales off of the new album Shangri-La Indeed, which drops June 28th.
Oh.
You know, you should be looking forward to this because it is some super good shit. Super good. It's like heroin.
It's like pigeon shit.
Yeah, this is Elephant Number 2. We'll be right back with Black Whales. And maybe we'll talk about some tour stuff. You guys got any good tour stories or anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sort of.
Does it involve ice blocking?
No.
No? Okay.
I've done that not on
I've
a
just
Black
learned
Whales
this
tour.
Phenomenon.
On Wonderful. A different tour.
I've done it on a different tour.
I think you guys should try it. All right, this is Elephant game. Number 2. Or is it Elephant 2?
Elephant Number 2.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Pound sign 2.
Pound sign.
Pound sign 2, yeah. Hashtag.
Oh, yeah. Like, who's this 2 guy everyone keeps referencing?
We'll be right back with more from the Black Whales.
But more could you expect?
now we can all hear you really well.
So you missed all that?
Yeah, there's nothing. It's just me. It's just me talking to myself.
Talking to air.
Which is, you know, which is fine. That's
you'll overdub later.
Right.
Hi, I'm Dave. Hi, I'm Davey.
You know. Drums.
Right. All right, we are back with the Black Whales. That was Elephant Number 2 off of the brand new album, full length, the first full length, Shangri-La Indeed. How'd you guys come up with the name for this album? I know it's the name of the title track as well, but
yeah, that it's the name of that book, Lost Horizons.
Oh, okay.
It was the name of a book, and the word Shangri-La was a fictitious place in that dude's book, it's kind of like supposed to be like an oasis or kind of like a
utopia,
or state of mind. People say it's like my Shangri-La, you know.
Okay.
And so, for a number of reasons, that a lot of these songs were lyrical content and stuff, it seemed like that's where where I personally was at, was like trying to find a state of mind that made me feel like just personal stuff, you know, a lot of stuff going on in my life. And
okay.
That was like my Shangri-La was working on those songs, that record, and then that song in particular, and we just took the title from that song.
Cool. Yeah, because I was going to say, like, the stuff that was on Origins kind of sounded like, especially the lyrical content was a bit darker.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? And, I mean it was still just great music, and, like, some of the music behind it, too, was not as dark, but more, you know, upbeat and poppy. I mean, was that something that you guys all kind of sought for, or it just kind of happened that way?
I think that a lot of it has to do with, like, how, you know, how a band's going at the time, or how,
right.
You know, a lot of personal stuff goes into songs, and then when you group them all together, it's like, oh, that record sounds like this, you know, and sometimes it's intentional, but I don't think we've ever sat down and tried to make a record a certain way, at least not yet.
Okay. And not even with this newest one, because you guys have definitely gone a little bit more, I hate to use the word psychedelic.
That was maybe the only thing we ever kind of talked about.
That word.
We kind of wanted to experiment more and get a little bit dronier at times. And
that's a better word, drony, yeah.
And sometimes, like, at least live now, we try and I wish there was a better word to use than jam, but
right,
we try
right.
And kind of like, well, let's yeah. leave this part really loose and just go with it and see what happens
yeah,
live.
Because yeah. you guys, I would kind of characterize your music as like a cross between String Cheese Incident and
yeah.
Fish. No.
Totally String Cheese. No one has hit the nail on the head better than you.
yeah.
Totally.
No, I think though that this one sounds, well, it sounds to me like it's a grown-up version of Origins, where
okay,
there was a lot of simplicity in that first one, and then this one, like, lyrical content and, like, meaning aside, just musically, we wanted to thicken it up and kind of
uh-huh.
experiment with soundscapes over just, like, chord changes.
Right.
So there's
right.
a lot of loose, like, crazy, trippy stuff that happens in some songs.
Yeah, yeah. And very layered, too.
Yeah, which
right.
which was definitely what we wanted to go for.
Uh-huh. Do you find, I mean, was the process of making this album, how was it kind of different? Because, I mean, with all those layers that go into the song, too, I mean, you're adding on, like, you know, days and days that you're going back to the same song, you know,
yeah.
over and over again.
Well, I don't even know where to start with that.
it turned into a really long process.
Yeah, this...
Yeah.
It was almost a year. I mean...
Yeah, it was almost a full year from
really?
The release that we started working on it with John Goodmanson. And we kind of went in knowing what we wanted to do, and then we did all the initial recording in a studio with John, and then we did some overdub stuff, and we got some mixes at, you know, kind of the first round. And I think it just... We all realized that maybe we didn't go in with a complete idea
uh-huh.
and there was a lot of things that weren't there that we had set out to have on this record, and so we made a really risky choice, I think, and looking back I think it was the right choice, but John was cool enough to let us get involved in the mixing process
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
and essentially gave us the files, And then Davey and I went out on our own, like pretty much knowing very little about production, and borrowed some mics, got some stuff together at our space, and we like went song by song, messing around with mixes. We re-recorded some stuff, added a ton of shit, like shakers and all these weird like delays and reverbs and stuff. And
so you guys did all this at your own, kind of on your own.
Yeah.
I mean, the overdubs and everything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also it wasn't necessarily just overdubbing. Some of the songs, you know, like Alex or I would kind of start a mix that was different from what John did, and we would share it with each other, and one of us would take that and kind of do our thing, and we'd kind of go back and forth until it got to this spot where both of us, I think, felt like it sounded right, like what the vision and goal was in our head.
Right, right.
And you know, it's a hard thing to like explain to someone like how you want it to sound or like what it should sound like.
A lot gets lost in that translation.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was cool to be able to just do that, and then from that it would spark other ideas, or you know, you start hearing stuff like, you know, what if we had an acoustic guitar, or what if we, you know, play a table, or just whatever like quirky stuff you can think of, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is adding a whole different dynamic to the song.
Right, right.
And we even at one point I remember realizing that listening to all the songs, all the mixes where we were at, maybe like 2 months after we started in on this remixing process, I remember talking to Davey, and there were a number of times when we thought we're maybe going too big with some of these ideas. So we even did some of the stuff like at our apartments and, you know, like really lo-fi, like with laptop microphone, built-in microphones, and like
really,
really just trying to like try everything possible to figure out. We kind of, as we went, tried to figure out like what the completed sound should be, like song by song.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's part of what makes some of these songs so great as well, because, you know, some of the songs have a real like lo-fi quality to them too. That is like reminds me of like Velvet Underground kind of stuff, you know. And I love it. I think you guys have done a really great job. And for the life of me, I don't understand how you guys spent so much time on each song. Like that kind of stuff for me would drive me fucking crazy.
I came in halfway through and it was like a lot, you know. I
mean, yeah, yeah.
But it was
after a while the excitement level drops.
I can imagine.
We're like in over our heads.
But there's also these points where we would like you stumble across a really good idea with a song, or you have that little breakthrough again. And it's like you can go from just being totally bummed out to like, you know, like I know for me, like when we did Elephant Number 2, I think I would sit in my apartment and listen to that song for like just like day after day, just being like, just laughing. Like this sounds so fucking cool. Like I have no idea.
Oh yeah, we did
how
that.
We pulled this like out of
our yeah, yeah.
That's the one song on that record that like, I recorded a nylon string guitar and sang, you know, in the house I was living in at the time, just on my laptop, and that was a demo version that made it on the record, and then I passed the files on to Davey, and Davey, you know, over the internet, and Davey went down to the space with his laptop and did the drums there, and then passed it on to the bass player, and he recorded the bass at home. So that one was completely produced by us, like, at home, which gives it a really weird aesthetic.
Because we never actually played it together.
Yeah, we had to learn how to play it.
Totally play it together.
That is so weird.
Yeah, that was actually probably the most fun. Because it was like, let's not overthink this. And every time someone was like, that sounds a little fucked up, should we like maybe go in and tweak that a bit? It's like, just leave it. Just, it's great like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you find doing it that way too was like super comfortable because you're in your own place? Like,
it all
just
fell together really naturally, actually, that song.
Really?
I mean, I personally, I think it'd be cool to even try and do a whole record like that. Like maybe not as separate, like not as isolated and, you know, individual apartments or whatever, but the self-producing things, like, really interesting to me, at least. And I think we've kind of got a taste for that now.
Yeah, yeah.
I also think with all the songs on the record, there's a good balance of, you know, some of the stuff we wrote together as a group, you know, we put the time in and had multiple practices and explored ideas. And some of the stuff, it's, you know, it's kind of just Alex's idea or it's Alex and I. But I think every song has a different dynamic to the way it was written and the way it came to be. So
it really
helps add a nice flavor to the record and makes it special to us, at least.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it shows because it's very, very good. And some of these songs I kind of recognize too, like Young Blood and Rattle Your Bones. Mm-hmm. You guys have had for a little while, right? Those were on some of the...
Battle Your Bones was always part of the record, but we put it out on that 7-inch.
It's kind
of a placeholder while we finished. Oops. At that point, when the 7-inch came out, that's where we had just got our hands on the files and we're kind of like looking at this whole thing going, shit.
Yeah. Okay. But that Rattle Your Bones song was like probably the closest one to being completed. So when it came time to do the 7-inch, we're like, that's probably the best candidate. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're not going to regret putting that on there because it sounds pretty good. So the mix on the full length, this Rattle Your Bones, this version is slightly different than the one on the 7-inch just for mixing reasons.
Yeah. And Youngblood and Books on Tape were on Origins, but there were two songs that we all really liked and I think felt that had evolved and just had a different energy from playing them for a couple years. Okay. So we wanted to go ahead and re-record them.
I was
wondering
kind of
about
blow
that.
Them out a little more, I guess. Bring that like live energy that they had developed into.
Right, right.
So, but I think, you know, the beauty of that stuff is there's something special about the first time we recorded them because it was new and fresh and we kind of weren't thinking about it, but having the time to let the song mature and everyone get comfortable playing it live.
Right.
Going in and doing it for the record now, it also kind of, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And
probably
for the next record, I think we'll redo a couple of songs. Just every record, we'll take one or two songs that we already put out and redo it again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, that shows that you guys really enjoy, totally. It shows that you guys really enjoy the songs that you already have, as well as the new ones that you guys got coming through as well. I mean, because I remember, you know, playing in bands and stuff, like you'd play a song so much that everybody would just get tired of it.
Oh, man, we have songs like that, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you just never hear them for that one reason.
Yeah.
It's like, that song gets written down on a whiteboard. It's like, well, we got this song. It's like, we're not playing that song.
I think there's some even on the record that we've kind of just stopped practicing because it's like, if one of us doesn't have it down by now, like maybe it's time to find a
maybe
different
it's
profession.
Overthinking it. Beating a dead horse.
let's talk about the kind of the band dynamics that you guys got going on here a little bit. So you were saying right before we went to the break that you guys do have some pretty funny tour stories or some interesting ones at least.
Well, man,
mostly involve bickering, I think.
Yeah, in this band. I mean, Davey's been
on
tour so much.
That's all we do
on
this show, Davey.
Well, we can bicker, man.
we're like the epitome of a bad relationship. Yeah, it's like... if we could just have sex with each other, it would just relieve so much tension.
Hey, man, no one's saying we can't.
I'll think
who's standing? Yeah. Who's standing in the way of that?
Yeah. Just can't pound on the table too hard.
right.
I mean, we can.
Yeah, we'll have to turn the mics off first. But so I mean, you guys have played some pretty cool shows with bands like the Breeders.
Yep.
Right and. Shit, it's escaping me now.
Presidents?
Yeah, Presidents of the United States of America. I mean, you guys have all been in other bands before, you know, probably played some bigger shows with those bands as well. Do nerves still kind of get in the way of things?
All
for
my,
you guys when you're playing a bigger show?
All my nerves, at least for me, come from, like, gear concerns.
Yeah,
like, I'm always fucking stressed about, like, my guitars can never, like, stay intonated, and, like,
right,
I play a lot
of
old equipment, too. Like, my amp's really old, and there's all sorts of shit that can go wrong.
Yeah.
So that's, it's always, like, or a bad cable, you know, it's, like, that can ruin stuff sometimes, at least.
Right.
For trying to be comfortable on stage. That's.
I just get nervous about, like, being able to hear myself and everyone else. That's all I get nervous about.
Right. So you're the guy that's constantly saying, more me in the monitor.
That's Davey. Davey's, can I get
some more drums in the monitor, please?
No, that happens.
More treble on my snare.
Well, what I'm actually asking for is not necessarily more drums, but it's trying to get him to sound right in the monitor.
Yeah.
Like frequency
consistent.
Tweets.
Yeah, cohesive. And I don't know what those frequencies are, so I don't want to start being like, a little more 1K and 500 hertz.
Yeah,
it just sounds like...
So what are some of these tours that you guys have gone on?
We did like a U.S. tour out to CMJ and back.
Oh, okay.
And I think we did a tour to South by Southwest.
You think we did?
Yeah, we definitely did. I don't know where you were.
I don't remember these stories. I just like, I don't know. There's just a lot of like nice of peeps, you know, someone's that drunk guy and they're obnoxious or they do something really stupid.
Or really funny. But
I think the one that always gets talked about,
which maybe we'll leave his name out, but someone someone decided to buy a, like a half gallon of
yogurt
of horchata.
Oh, horchata.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
You know, it comes in like those kind of papery plastic, I don't know what.
Yeah, it's like rice milk container. Yeah. Like,
right.
A pull tab.
And so, you know, this band member decided to put in his bag and was sitting in our loft. Like, we have a little loft built into our van so you can sleep while it's doing a long drive. And for some reason, someone moved his bag because there was not a do not move sign. And it spilled horchata like all over the bed,
sleeping loft.
And all over his like bag. And you know, I think we were in Montana. It was like 16 degrees. So now you've got like, you have this bed that's soaked in horchata and it's freezing, so it's not going to dry.
Right.
And I think like Alex and I and I think Mike, who used to be like the keyboard player, you know, we like pulled the sheet out and like went down the street to a dry cleaner and we tried to dry it before we had to get on the road.
Yeah, and like...
But the whole response we got was, well, I shouldn't have moved my bag.
Yeah, well, who moved my bag? It's like, none of us knew you had rice milk in your bag open.
Well, I think we all stopped carrying, you know, half gallons of horchata a couple years ago.
It's not something you assume sort of someone has in their bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, then try and find a dry clean, I mean, a laundromat that's open at like 10 p.m. in
Billings.
In Billings, Montana.
Like, yeah, yeah.
In the dead of winter.
Do you guys normally get along on tour? Or is like something like an instance like that where somebody, you know, is,
you know, a tour, I think like it starts out really exciting. Like
right,
when you hit
right.
the road and everyone's like, fuck yeah, we're going, you know, we're on vacation. We're all we have to do is like what we really like doing, you know, and like
yeah, yeah.
for the next X amount of days. But I think there's like you hit a point where you kind of have to learn to live with each other, or like, you know, some of the temperaments have to be cooled down and you just kind of have to coexist.
Right, right.
Tolerance kind of goes up maybe.
Oh, for sure.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Just kinda,
well,
you kind of have to deal with it.
So. Right, right. And you're stuck in this van with, you know, five other dudes.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, does it ever come down to like, if you see one of the band members is eating like jalapeno Cheetos and you know that that's not just going to bode well for everybody else in the van? Do you speak up?
I think tuna
fish.
Like,
man, something? If I have to watch him chew those chips like that one more time,
yeah,
I'm gonna freak out because I can't stand the way he chews and like drops his lower lip or whatever.
And there's a guy who really he's like lives off fast food, and so it's like that shit does not leave.
Please tell
oh,
me
we
that's
had the,
Ryan.
We had the, no, the chicken nugget. We had the chicken nugget challenge.
Oh, we did have the McNugget off in the van.
Yeah.
That sounds like
it
fun.
Was a challenge.
That was when we went down to South by Southwest.
Yeah.
But that was also, I think that was a few days after the Big Montana Challenge,
yeah.
Okay, so this was more, what route did you guys take? What route were you on when you were doing the McNugget Challenge? Because I would hope that you guys were on somewhere where, like, you know, on the West Coast, if you go down, like, Highway 101, there's rest stops, like, every, like,
oh,
10
no.
miles.
The Nugget was on I-5, but the Arby's deal was that was going from Salt Lake City to Austin on
you guys just like pain.
Well, we Davey and I paid for these two guys, Ryan and
we like Mark. Entertainment.
Yeah, they're like, so you guys are stupid. You're paying for our dinner. That's stupid. And we're like, what's stupid is that you're gonna eat all those damn chicken McNuggets.
You're gonna feel awful when we're in the middle of nowhere, and it's gonna be entertaining.
Plus, this is like great priceless video footage. I was documenting everything. I was like,
nice.
Just having
nice.
The best time.
And how did the shows at where did you guys play at South by Southwest?
Kind of wherever we could, you know. Like
we had.
Do you just go down there and like try to set something up or what?
No,
we had some stuff set up, but it's such
five,
a circus,
I think,
you know.
Oh yeah,
it was,
yeah.
You never know what you're gonna get.
Right, right.
If anything at all.
Yeah, we had some really cool shows.
Yeah.
You know, out of five.
The South by Seattle show was cool.
We had a couple.
What was the South by Seattle show?
I don't remember what bar.
A bunch of Seattle bands.
Yeah,
in Austin.
It was just.
Oh, okay.
Or where? Jazz.
It was a
no, no. Just what it was. Yeah.
It was just just a Seattle showcase.
Cool.
Seattle
cool.
Bands, yeah.
Now I've heard like at South by I've never been there before, but like South by Southwest is just like Austin turns into one big music festival, right?
Yeah.
It's unimaginably.
I mean, it's just
like crazy.
Every bar and every restaurant has some band playing it. A bicycle shop has some band playing it,
everywhere,
or something like that.
It's like Bummer Shoot times, I don't know, like 30. I mean, if yeah. Bumbershoot didn't have gates, you know, it was just spilled out all over.
Right, right. So it's not really like any roped off area. You just have to have a pass to get. Right. That's one thing, though. Like, we looked into going to South by Southwest a couple years ago, and like passes to get into that thing were like $400.
Yeah.
You know, it's more of a conference than it is a festival.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. I guess so.
It's pitched as a festival, but it's a music conference. It's about, you yeah, know, they showcase
yeah.
and...
Industry people come yeah, in checking totally out bands and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
But you can go. You have better luck at, like, Austin City Limits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a lot nicer in October.
Right, right. So you guys don't have a label yet for this album. Are you shopping it around, or are you doing it by yourself?
We're kind of shopping around, but also at a point where it's like, let's put it out and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, I think we'd rather have someone that hears it and is really excited about it and wants to do something with it, as opposed to like
forcing it on somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like, hey, come on, why don't you put this out and do us a favor.
Do us a solid.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of really good bands putting out records on their own now. Mm-hmm. And while they
it's got to be much easier to do now, too.
You don't have Facebook
and, you know,
yeah,
everything like that.
I think you can definitely annoy people by doing too much of that social media marketing thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, like Davey's saying, if someone were to hear it and get really psyched about it and, you know, wanted to put it out, we would definitely say, yeah, you know, but we're not going to sit on a record waiting for someone to put it out.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have people hear it and, you know, buy it, and then we want to be able to creatively kind of move on from there.
Does that limit you, though, a little bit? Because, I mean, you're not going to have, without a label, you're not going to have distribution.
Right. Well, you can call in some favors now and again. You know, like, there's people that are willing to help if they believe in the record or they like your band.
Right.
You know,
right.
Some people are willing to do favors for you, and I think it's just, you know, how far you're willing to go personally to promote something or... push it through. Because without that distribution, you're limited to this, like, Northwest market, you know?
It's limited, but I sort of feel like it's not, because, you know, if our record makes it into a store in Minneapolis or Chicago or wherever, like, there's a chance someone's going to pick it up, but
right.
I think we have better luck doing well in Seattle and, like, selling some records and...
And selling them at shows and mm-hmm. doing that.
Yeah, well, and also just, you know, with the internet now, like, there's so many... People are aware of so many more bands.
Oh, yeah.
And what's going on with music that it's easy to be heard and found, and if someone wants to get the record, they can buy it direct from us, and that's going to benefit us, or they can download it off Bandcamp or whatever, as opposed to, you know, it's sitting on a shelf in a store and kind of maybe collecting dust, or someone takes a chance on it.
Right.
I think it was hard, too, with this one, because we took so long to do it, and it just, we have worked on it for almost a full year, that it's, you know, and there was a kind of a sting to feel like, well, we're just going to put it out ourselves, you know, that's a little bit anticlimactic.
Right.
But at the same time, I think going from here, the plan anyway is just to start putting out records, like, you know, as often as we can.
Cool.
So
I think there's no reason
if we could start doing it ourselves like that and create that thing for ourselves, that outlet, then that would be just fine with us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I say more power to you, man. And I, you know, I think it's going to do well. You know, even if you are doing it by yourself and everything like that. And you guys are you guys doing a tour in support of the album?
I think right now there's just a short West Coast tour in September.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of that same thing we're talking about. Like, we could try to tour all over the place, but I think it's better for the band's morale and just to keep it fun and fresh, to just keep it within our means. And
yeah.
Like, if a band's going to grow, it's going to grow naturally at some point. And
right,
if it does,
right.
It does. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But I think it's best to try to keep it realistic instead of try to force a bunch of things that maybe are not real or not a smart move to do right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, I think it's great
to put it out, and then we'll have a better sense of what'll happen or what we want to do.
Well, it sounds awesome, and any shows that you guys have coming up, you know, let us know about it, because we'll plug the shit out of it.
Sweet. Totally.
We'll plug it. Plug all your
holes. Plug all the holes.
Yeah, all the holes on the Air Raid podcast, on the fake radio. Okay, well, once again, thank you guys so much for coming out. I really appreciate it. Have a great time with you. I urge, Dave, you got to try ice blocking.
How do you... affix your feet to these ice blocks.
That's well, you don't. You just buy, you know, the blocks of ice right there.
You can't what stand we did, on a block of ice.
That's what I'm. That's
that
what
would
I'm
be badass, though.
I can't mean, visualize if you did, this if you yet. Did I don't do have that. A visual of the ice block.
Maybe you could, if you had like a big freezer, so you could get a bunch of ice blocks, you know, wet the ends of it, and then freeze them all together, and you could make like an ice
so
sled.
What are these ice blocks?
You sit on a block of ice.
Where do you get this block of ice?
At Safeway.
At a store.
How big is it? It's give me dimensions.
It's like, okay, so it's like 12
it's
by
the size
four.
Of a block
you
of ice.
You can buy blocks of ice that big?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck me, I didn't know this.
We need to go buy some blocks of ice. I think
you don't have an ice man that brings ice to you
with hooks on the side.
Ice and milk.
You don't have a serial murderer that comes to your house with big hooks.
What's up with your family, man?
We're not old-fashioned enough, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you just say, okay, so this is what you need to do. Don't go to Gasworks Park at 3 o'clock in the morning, though. But so go out and buy a block of ice. Get a plastic bag. You just put it on top of the ice right, so you can sit on something that's dry.
Is towel's a little more comfortable.
Towel? Okay. Oh, okay.
Better luck with a towel.
Yeah. And where have you gone?
This sounds awesome.
I went in Seattle somewhere, and I went at a golf course in San Diego once.
Okay. During the day, or was it nighttime?
It was all nighttime. It's better, though, if the ground's a little wet outside or if it rained the day before, because then you're just coasting.
Yeah. Right. No friction whatsoever.
Olympic speeds. Covered in mud.
Yeah. And you can't do this down sand dunes. It's got to be grass.
Or down Denny.
Yeah.
Or down Denny.
Don't do it down Denny.
Don't do it down Denny. That would be a terrible idea.
You want to get a mattress when it snows and go down Denny. That seems to be the popular thing.
Right.
Yeah, leave it there for a couple days. A
couple years ago, it was one hell of a party up at the top of that hill. Yeah. A lot of Boone's Farm being drunk that night.
Yikes.
Yeah.
High school.
a lot of brown, or I'm sorry, like
brown.
No, that's not what I meant to say. Really bright blue vomit.
Ugh.
That night. Yeah. So on that note, where can we find your music and where can we see you guys next?
Well, I think it'll be in your Sonic Booms and Easy Streets.
Okay.
And
here in Seattle.
Yep. And you can probably order it off of our website.
Yeah, I think this week it goes up on blackwhales.com for pre-sales start. And then June 28th it comes out in stores and iTunes and that stuff.
Nice.
And there's a free download on our website right now.
Yeah, you can download the song, the track Listen. Right? Lately, I'm sorry.
But
if you listen to it lately,
that would be awesome. Yeah.
Nice.
Anagrams.
Yeah.
Good save. And what's the next show that's coming up again? Tractor Tavern?
July 2nd at the Tractor Tavern. Yep.
Nice. With Legendary Oaks, who have also been on this show.
Oh, awesome.
And Mald... How do you say that?
Maldemar.
Maldemar.
Means seasickness in French.
Yeah. Oh.
Trivia.
Perfect.
My old drummer's in that band, too.
So if you drink some Boone's Farm before that show, you may be able to have a little bit more bright blue vomit that night. Well, thank you guys once again, Black Whales, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. And like I said, man, you know, any shows that you guys got coming up, that would be great. And we will plug those for you because we're big fans of the local scene here in Seattle. Let's see. What song would you like to close the show out with today, guys?
How about you pick it?
I'm partial to Serpent myself.
Ooh, I was going to say Serpent, too. Ooh.
Serpent in the Water.
It's kind of long, though.
Serpent in the Water.
Hey. No worries, man.
It's the FCC. You're going to be pissed, man.
Fuck them. Okay.
Fuck shit, fuck.
Of course, you can find us at air-raid.net. We're also on the new Noisebeam Network, provided to you in part by Fisher Broadcasting here in Seattle. Great people over there. Great shows that you can find. Planned Brotherhood, Stack of Dimes. Man, just really good stuff. So check us out, noisebeam.com. You can also download the show at iTunes, Zune Marketplace, and also Stitcher, the awesome little app. It's like a Pandora radio for your smartphones that you can listen to tons of podcasts on. So check us out on that. So this ends the first anniversary show of the Air Raid Podcast.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a good year, and you guys just topped it off, made it wonderful. So, Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll be back next week with another Seattle band, the Brambles. So be sure to check them out. That's going to be good stuff. It's going to be good stuff, episode 53. All right, everybody. Have a great week.